have very few notes in front of me. I really want to simply share my heart from God's Word, making a few comments prior to reading from this passage, and then reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Back when it came out, the musical MAME had as one of its show-stopping songs, "We Need a Little Christmas." Maybe you've heard it in different arrangements. One that comes to mind is Johnny Mathis and his distinctive voice being able to sing those words, "We Need a Little Christmas." The setting for that fictional moment was the stock market crash of 1929. And Mame had lost her fortune. She was feeling the need to have some good news in her life. And in that moment, she's calling her young son-in-law and some of the household servants around to say, "Let's get the Christmas decorations out right this very minute. We need a little Christmas now." And what I think the sentiment of that is expressing is we need good news. We've heard so much that's not good news. Maybe we've passed along things that are not good news, and we feel like there's no hope for us. There's no distinctive voice that we can bring into the conversation with people around us. But I want to tell us and remind us, I need to remind myself, that in this moment, in this very minute, we don't need simply a little Christmas. We need the good news of Christmas and of Easter, of Good Friday, and the ascension of Jesus, because Jesus, even right now, is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, loving us, wanting the best for us, moving us forward in our growth in Him. And if we are in Christ, we do have good news. We have hope, we have assurance, we have life now, and we have life everlasting. And it's great news for us to be able to share with other people. We have the best news. And we should be willing to and eager to talk about what's most important. Last week, I mentioned this passage from 2 Corinthians 3. The glory of the old covenant, the glory of the new covenant, the glory that we have, this that God is taking us from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another, and that because of our relationship, we have no cause to lose hope. We do not lose heart, as Paul writes about. Maybe you've heard about some of the things that have happened in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, and you've seen some of those events. Well, there's churches there, there's pastors, and this one pastor, Matthew Henry, pastor of Missio Dei Fellowship Church in Kenosha, he said, "Hope is not lost if people come together in love." And this is what he said: "The God who made the heavens and the earth is the faithful God who cannot deny His name nor His people. So we are at rest. We grieve as we watch our literal neighborhood burn. We grieve with those who suffer much loss, but we mostly grieve at the number of people who are longing for peace and wholeness, but also who reject Christ as the only hope. And so we continue to preach and serve and love." He says that the need for the gospel has not changed, even in the midst of such upheaval. "We live in a city," he says, "slowly being given over to its love of darkness, and the covering is being ripped off before our eyes to show how dark it is. So the answer is the same as always: rich, deep, full declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ." We have a need. We are sinners who need a Savior. We are sinners who fall short of the glory of God. We are people who need the grace of God in our lives, and we must be willing to proclaim that good news. We need to be able to distinctly and clearly and most assuredly be able to say that to ourselves, that we need good news. Remember the passage that we read again at Christmas time, Luke chapter 2. The angel appeared to those shepherds, and he says, "I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Did you hear that? Good news, great joy, all people. Good news, great joy for all people. People need to hear the good news about Jesus. We need to remind ourselves. Friday before last, I woke up and I could not stop crying. The tears were flowing, the sobs. I was just uncontrollable in my tears. And I told my wife, I don't even know all of why I'm sad right now. I'm crying. I spent most of Friday morning crying my eyes out, literally. I needed to take a walk. I got out and I realized, you know, the things that I'm focusing to, the only hope that any of that situation, including my own, I need to remind myself that my hope is in the Lord. I read it last week from Psalm 121. Where does our hope come from? We look to the hills. Where does my hope come from? My hope comes from the Lord. And Paul was a person who realized how much he needed God. He was a man who had been a hater of Christians, who had persecuted Christians, who had gone out of his way to be those who would disrupt and cause chaos among Christian people. And he had a wonderful, gracious, life-transforming encounter with Jesus Christ. And he was never the same. And he wanted to be able to remind himself and those that he was ministering to the greatness of God's work in his life. I want to read this good news passage. It's the best news. It's a reminder of God's work on our behalf. It's an incredible passage. And I hope that you will receive this and be changed by it. If you know God, then keep reminding yourself, thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you for shining your light into my life that I know Jesus Christ and that I have peace. I have something to look forward to now and forever. I have the confidence and I don't lose heart because of what God's done in my life through Jesus. And if you have not received that good news, then please, as Paul says later in this same letter, if you hear God's word, if you hear his voice today, do not harden your hearts against God and say, I don't need that. People, we need the Lord, and we need to remind ourselves and tell other people. One of the key points about all of this, beyond the glory of God in the face of Jesus, which is magnificent in and of itself, we could spend literally the next hours thinking about God's work on our behalf through Jesus. One of the things, though, that he keeps coming back to is that he's speaking this, we proclaim this, we declare this. And so, church, let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's not be afraid. Let's not be timid when it comes to talking about this message. And I'm reminding myself just how often I forfeit that moment because I make a quick judgment about, well, that person wouldn't receive it, or that person wouldn't listen, or this or that. And I make excuses for not declaring the gospel. These words that I'm going to read are the very words of God to us, and they're a reminder, they're an encouragement, they're a hopefulness. If you're in despair, if you're crying, preach to yourself the gospel. Think about the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Therefore, well, maybe we should back up, because we know that there's a reason that there is that therefore in that moment. So let me back up to the verses prior to that and start in verse 17 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face. Who unveiled our face? Well, it's God. He helps us see the glory, his glory. all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry, the ministry of the new covenant, as we have studied on before this moment, this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Tell yourself that this week. Because of what God has done for us, the mercy that he's shown us, the mercy that he's poured out in our hearts, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. With ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. You see, we take these precious words and we turn them into curse words, to bywords. People will say Jesus Christ and they're not happy when they say it. They're angry. They're yelling. And when they say for Jesus' sake, for Christ's sake, they're not happy people. May we never be those who fall into that temptation to use the name of Jesus, the precious, beautiful name of Jesus, as a byword. His name is above all names. His name is beautiful and precious. And what we proclaim is not ourselves. We don't point to ourselves. We stay in the background like John the Baptist said, he must increase, and I must decrease. We declare not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants. What if we looked at each other as being there not for ourselves, but for the other person within the church body? I want to serve you with excellence. I want to pray God's best for you. I want to build you up. I want you to succeed. I want you to grow in Christ. I want you to be able to experience the joy, the peace, the forgiveness. I want you to be whole. I want you to be restored. I want what's best for you. And so I serve you. I'm not looking primarily for what I can get from a church body, but I'm willing to look and move toward being a servant because of Jesus, for his sake and not my own. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. This is the Creator God. Do you see this? We're going back to Genesis here. Let light shine out of darkness. This same God who said that has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. These are some of the most excellent, most beautiful, most fantastic, most hopeful words that we can read in all of the Bible. And they're right here in this passage. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, that we see in verse 4, and then here in verse 6, that God has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. No wonder John could declare in his gospel, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And do you see what Paul says next in verse 7? He says, we have this. It's not something out there. God's put it into our hearts. It's in our lives. We have this. And what does he call it? It's a treasure. We have this treasure in these jars. He's talking about his body, our bodies, these jars of clay. We have this treasure, this wonderful good news, glory of God shining out of the darkness into this world, that we show forth the glory of God by his grace. We have this treasure. Why? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So again, it's not pointing to us and saying, look what we did, look how smart we are, look how much we studied, look how much we learned, look how much we memorized, look what we did this week, look how many things we did that were good things, but look how many things that God did through us for his glory to show that the power is not from us, but from God. From beginning to end, from start to finish, the work of transformation, of radical gospel, life-changing transformation belongs to God. And so Paul is able to say here in verse 8, the outflow of what God's put in, of how he responds to situations. We are afflicted in every way. Does that sound like what you've gone through this last several months? We are afflicted. You feel it. And he says, what? But not crushed. That's only from the power of God. We're afflicted, but not crushed. Perplexed. Do you feel like, I don't know what to do? The next minute, life changes, and I'm perplexed. He says we're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. He's saying we always should be carrying about that reminder that we have been crucified with Christ. It's not us who live, but Christ who lives in us. We carry about that so that the life of Jesus may be shown forth to people. Verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And he goes on to say, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And then he comes back to this theme that he started this chapter with, verse 16, so we do not lose heart. And we see it, though our outer self is wasting away. You know, sometimes I look in the mirror and say, who is that old guy? I don't feel like I look sometimes, but I know that my outer self is getting older. We are all wasting away. Our inner self, though, by the grace of God, is being renewed day by day. And then this wonderful reminder and an incredible promise, verse 17, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. Everything we see in this room right now will not last. It's all transient. But the things that are unseen are eternal. That is some great news. That is good news. That's the gospel. That we need God's intervention on our behalf, and he's done that. God desires that none perish. God has a heart for people. Good news, great joy, all people. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Reading in the book of Acts this last week and even this morning, several points along the way where Peter was put forward as the spokesperson for this newly forming church as they were empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And he's preaching and he says to them, repent of your sins and turn to God. Come out of this wicked generation and be saved. He says this declaration as well in Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, this is not a one-time, I said a prayer, I went forward, I told the pastor or someone else that I wanted to become a Christian. This is a continual action. But everyone who calls and keeps calling on the name of the Lord, from that point where you say, I want to have that relationship, and you keep calling on his name. Jesus, I want to be yours. I need you. Jesus, I declare that you are the one worthy, that I entrust myself to you every single moment of every single day. Jesus, I need you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved by God's faithfulness, his power. So call upon him. Say, I need you. Jesus, I know that I've sinned. I know that without you, I have no hope. I have no future. My future will be apart from God Almighty in an eternal hell. So Jesus, save me. And Christian brother and sister, if you have meandered into the melee of being caught up in all of the negativity, I understand, of the tearfulness, of the sense of loss, of I don't know what to do next, I'm perplexed, I feel crushed, I'm overwhelmed. Remind yourself and come back to this work of God and say, God, thank you that because of your work, I do not lose heart. I don't give up. I don't fall into despair and stay there. I keep my eyes looking to you through your Son, Jesus. It's real. It's true. It's the Word of God. And we can hold on to the promises of God, that all of those promises of God are yes in Jesus. God's Word is amazing. We need not just a little Christmas. We need Christmas and Good Friday and Easter and the Ascension and Pentecost. The power of God coursing through our lives by His Spirit, reminding us and propelling us to speak, to share, to proclaim, to teach the good news of Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we need you. Almighty God, we need you this very moment. We realize that that this world needs you. Please forgive us for keeping bottled up the best news ever, for holding on to this treasure and keeping it close to us and not speaking this gospel. Forgive us for failing to tell even our very best friend this good news. Lord God, we pray for our cities. We realize that our cities need you. We realize that our families within those cities need you. We realize that businesses all across this nation need you, that those who lead in the realm of politics need you. We, Almighty God, are a country that needs you. We ask that you would give us that reminder by your Holy Spirit to call upon you, Jesus. That we would fall on our faces in awe, struck wonder of who you are. God, you are magnificent. I thank you that you're with us in the tears and the laughter. You're with us. Lord God, thank you for your incredible grace. Oh, where would we be without your intervention on our behalf in sending your Son into this world to die for us sinners, and to give us that faith to receive that gift of life through your Son. Lord God, we pray that if there is anybody within this room or within those who are listening now or will listen later to this time of worship, that anyone who's heard your word will call upon the name of Jesus with a confidence that only comes from you, that you hear that prayer, that sincere prayer that you give that individual, and that you will enter in to that person's life and save them. Lord God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you help us not to lose heart. Thank you, Almighty God, for your incredible love through your Son. In his name we pray.